This is The Fantasy Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
8 o'clock, good morning. The Fantasy Show live on this Sunday, January the 8th, 2017. Alex Cicero alongside Dan Riccio and Josh Goldberg, who returns from his one-week hiatus. Needed to recover from New Year's.
Yeah.
You want to tell us what you did?
I went out drinking and dinner. It was very nice.
Nice.
But yeah, the 6:30 wake up was not in the cards to begin 2017.
I would say a semi-hungover Josh Goldberg, I think, would sound tremendous on radio.
I feel like very congested. Mm. Like it would just sound like I was, you know, not.
You sound congested when you're hungover?
Yeah, just like in the, like a cobwebby, you know, just going up there. So I
so
was.
Just like every week, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much like every week, like right now.
I wonder how good his filter was, because there are times when he, you know, pushes the envelope with his turd bombs and
tire fires.
And all those.
You got to push the envelope, right?
He probably would have sworn a couple times and not even noticed it.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. Which is why I was really hoping you would come in.
I'm honestly surprised that none of us have ever sworn.
I almost
to begin
did.
With. Oh, I have come close before.
There's a couple times with you guys the last year or two where the kind of comes out, I, you know, I have a potty mouth. I don't mind saying it. Yeah. It's a bad habit that I probably should cut, but I won't because I'm lazy and I'm just used to doing it. But we were just talking here about something, and then a bad word just almost came out, and good thing I caught it because we could have dumped out of it, I guess. But anyways, well, it's nice to have you back. There was some playoff action yesterday, although it didn't really feel like the playoffs. I think that's the best way I could put it. We had a party last night at my house, so we had we had both games up, and I caught more of the second game than I did the first game. But it just, like, I knew that the playoffs were here and it was exciting, but it also didn't really feel like the playoffs were on. And the matchups had a lot to do with it. The first game was what we thought it was going to be.
Well, we didn't expect Brock Osweiler to have three touchdowns.
No.
No turnover. Sorry, two touchdowns.
Yeah.
But no turnovers. No sacks.
Yep. No sacks is the big thing.
But but the game script was what we thought it would be. Connor Cook was going to be an unmitigated disaster. Mm-hmm. I still can't believe, like, Jack Del Rio was contemplating putting Matt McGloin in, and he didn't.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't.
His shoulder must be mush. Yeah. Mush. Mm-hmm. Has to.
But it's his non-throwing shoulder, so who cares?
Yeah. And I was shocked that they did. I mean, their first third down conversion came in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They had 12 straight third down conversions that they failed on, and then they finally hit one in the fourth quarter. But by halftime, I'm thinking, why wouldn't they just go to, like, and I don't even know what Matt McGloin is. I'm not going to sit here and pretend he's, like, one of the best backups in the NFL. I don't know. We just haven't really seen him. But I just did see two quarters of Connor Cook.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kid was the first quarterback ever in the Super Bowl era to make his first NFL start in the playoff game. So that's a tough position to put the kid in. But the Raiders, and this is the thing. You can have such a good year. 12-4, they were great. Everything was trending up. You lose one key guy off your 53-man roster.
Over.
And you're toast.
Yeah.
You're toast. And the same thing kind of happened to the Lions.
Right.
Matthew Stafford was not the same guy. He was missing a lot of throws. He had some pressure he was dealing with, but there were guys open he was overthrowing.
Yeah.
And we know that's not really Matthew Stafford. That's more injury related. But you take a big hit to your quarterback this time of year, man.
Yeah. The Raiders went from 2 weeks ago looking like a candidate to maybe get home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. And then Derek Carr breaks his fibula. And they go on the road to Houston. McGloin's out and they're done. So it's pretty wild how quickly things can change in sports in general, but particularly in the NFL.
Well, like, the one thing with the Raiders, and this is more from a real football perspective, I mean, they spent, them and the Giants were the teams that spent a whole lot of money on their defenses.
Right.
Here. And the Raiders' defense never gelled, and the Giants obviously did. Yeah. They're maybe the best defense in the league right now. So Like, if the Raiders could play defense at the level that they were expected to, you know, maybe this is a different story for them, because this is at least a game where you could say if we had the defense there, we could have won. We could have beaten Brock Osweiler. But they just didn't have it there. And it's like, it was like Khalil Mack against the world last night for that Raiders defense. And that's not the way it should be against Brock Osweiler.
I was trying to come up with some free agent quarterbacks that the Raiders could have possibly scooped up. Like, I know that if they would sign this guy with 1 week of prep, it's not an ideal situation. But in hindsight, it probably would have been better than what Connor Cook did. And I understand Cook was there, and I guess he knows the playbook and stuff. But apparently, like, last week when he went in, I think he said they were running plays for him that he just, because he was just, in practice, he was the third string guy.
Yeah.
He was just kind of like, oh, okay. Not sure really what to do here, but I might just look Amari Cooper's way and just kind of throw it and just kind of hope he catches it. So on the show today, we're going to, in detail, break down the two games from yesterday. We'll also look at the two games from today. We have Dan's Dolphins. It's playoff day for Dan.
Yeah.
He's
can't wait.
He's not wearing a Dolphins jersey. No, he's wearing his American Eagle sweatshirt.
When we're down 21-0 in the second quarter, I'm gonna quickly change to not being a Dolphin fan.
Yeah.
Well, that would be good, because I do have some Matt Moore in DFS. Mm-hmm. So wow, it's great. Great
Garbage
game
done?
Script. Yeah, I would love
Garbage
that.
Good game script. Yeah.
So we'll take a look at the two games today: Miami in Pittsburgh, and then Green Bay will take on the New York Football Giants. That's the 4:35 kickoff. I'm gonna miss having the game tonight. I think I would almost prefer not having the, like, I would trade the 1 o'clock kickoff for the 8:15 or 8:30 kickoff tonight. I don't know if I need a 1 o'clock Sunday playoff game.
No, I agree.
The 4 o'clock is huge, especially for network television. So to have the Packers there and the Giants is big, but I don't know. I'd rather have Al Michaels tonight. So we'll look at those two games from a DFS angle. Rob Wong is here doing updates for us this morning, so he will come in studio at 9 o'clock, and he'll give us his take on the two games from today. And then, also in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to begin our review positionally. We'll start at quarterback today. We'll also take a look at, there's been some mock drafts done in the fantasy football biz that we'll look at, and just give you an early idea of where some quarterbacks are going. And what I've done over the last couple of weeks is gone back to our preview shows in August to see, to see how well we did with our predictions. And we'll play those quarterback predictions next hour. Running back next week, we'll do wide receiver, tight end, and then we'll do some baseball talk in like a month from now. But yeah, with our quarterback predictions, I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah. I've gone back through our running back predictions, and a little more hit and miss there. I may or may not have liked Mark Ingram more than LeSean McCoy, which I don't remember saying, but apparently I did that. So we'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. And if you want to call in, we're going to leave the phone lines open for you if you want to talk some fantasy football with us this morning. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Toll free is 1-888-666-0590. If you want to give us your fantasy MVP for your team.
Keeper questions.
Yeah, we're pretty much open to anything over these next 4 weeks. We're not going to limit phone calls to anything specifically, because there's so many ways we can kind of tackle this. But we'll leave the lines open if you want to call in, or if you want to send us a tweet at DanRiccio590, at JGoldberg12, and at AlexFan590. But let's start with the games from yesterday. And in terms of the injury news from the two games today, I haven't really seen anything that's changed over the last little bit. So we'll talk about those two games in depth next segment. But Houston Texans move on to the divisional round with a 27-14 win over the Oakland Raiders. And this game opened with, I believe, a total of 36.5, which is about as low as it can get from a totals perspective.
Yep. So the hammer, the over.
Yeah. And if you took the over, you made a little bit of cash at 41 points. But from tackling this game in DFS, there wasn't many avenues we could go towards. Lamar Miller, to me, was probably the clear one. He had 31 carries for 73 yards and a touchdown.
It's not a good average.
2.4 yards per carry.
Not great.
No, it's not great. He did have a 19-yard run, and then other than that, it was pretty bad. I I feel like that might be a decent way to sum up the kind of year he had.
Yeah.
Lots of workload. Didn't really look all that great. No. He did have a touchdown to kind of save his day, but you know, Lamar, my guess is that Lamar Miller, like, he was a second round pick going into the year. I don't think he's going to be a second round pick next year.
Doesn't seem likely,
but
no.
I think he might be a third round pick.
Yeah,
I don't think there's going to be much of a discount there with Lamar Miller.
It's just hard to turn your nose up at that kind of workload. Production aside, I mean, he was more of a middle of the pack to slightly upper tier second running back, which obviously is not what you want with a second round pick. But if you're taking him in the third and that's the floor and ideally he performs a little bit better, then I think that that's a somewhat of a reasonable price tag for a guy like that.
Because I can tell you, there's the guys at CBSSports.com did a 12-team mock earlier this week. Lamar Miller was like a middle of the second round pick.
Yeah.
So well, you're really getting no discount. No. And I guess it all comes down to he's probably a guy you can bank on touching the ball, you know, 22 plus times a game.
Well, he had 4 yards per carry. So, you know, like just over 250 carries and over 1,000 yards. It's not including receptions or anything like that. But you maybe think touchdown variance will maybe get back on his side. So he only had 5 this year. The Texans offense is pretty putrid.
Yeah.
Maybe they figure out something at quarterback. You know, there's talk of Tyrod, Tony Romo, you know, something that could be better than Brock Osweiler, which is basically anything.
Yeah.
And that will help Lamar Miller in the long run.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing. I think his touchdown upside is solely sewn into the better play at quarterback. And I should probably look into Brock Osweiler's contract because I don't think they can just get out of it after this year. No. Like, they're stuck.
He's
for
still got $16 million left.
But there's no opt
guaranteed.
Out.
No, yeah,
right. So
he's got $16 million guaranteed. So they're not cutting him this year.
No, but it's kind of a shame that you couldn't get Lamar Miller at a discount. And maybe come next year he won't be a second round pick, because doing mocks in January, it's so dangerous because so many things are going to change with so many teams. But, I mean, I probably at this point wouldn't be inclined to spend a second-round pick on him because nothing tells me Brock Osweiler is going to play better. And, Will Fuller was a pretty big disappointment considering the talent he has.
Especially after that first month he had where he looked really good.
And just to give you some hindsight or some indication of some of these other running backs going around a guy like Lamar Miller, it's guys like Jay Ajayi, Todd Gurley, and DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
Right? And with, you know, in Tennessee, I think we kind of saw late in the year, DeMarco maybe was a little beat up, and they got Derrick Henry involved a little bit more. I think I'd rather go Jay Ajayi over Lamar Miller. I'm fully going to be buying into Jay Ajayi. I kind of do wonder if he's going to be like a back end of the first round pick.
Yeah.
Once August comes. And Todd Gurley, man, I don't even know if I'd want any of those two running backs in the second round. It just seems so high.
Yeah.
And if anything, I would take Miller over Gurley for sure.
No doubt.
Well, like, the thing also with Miller is, like, I think we kind of forget that he's still a pretty young player. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still in his mid-20s. And he's hasn't had the workload in Miami. And he's never really had, to my memory, a major injury. Like, he had some nicks and some stuff this year, and other than that, though, like, he played pretty much every week.
Yeah.
And he was pretty reliable, like, with the work that he gave you. Okay, he never really had a breakout game where he won you the week, but he also
The one Monday night
against
Indianapolis,
against the Raiders, Sunday nighter against Indy, and a Monday nighter against the Raiders.
Yeah,
he had two big games.
But Dan's right. Other than that, it was just okay.
Like, 12 to 15 point.
But he did not bring you back second round value.
No.
But yeah, he, aside from two games, he rushed the ball at least 14 times per game.
Yeah.
And in the passing game, he was, you know, 4-4-3, 1-3-3, 2-2-3.
So, and I think that's the problem, was that, like, you thought you would get more as a pass catching back from Lamar Miller. You thought he would be a bigger part of the offense that way.
Yeah.
And he never really turned out to be.
We told you Brock Osweiler had, look, for his standards, he had a good game. He only completed 14 passes, but a buck 68, a touchdown. He ran in another, didn't turn the ball over, didn't get sacked. So, but for fantasy next year, he's going to be, I would imagine, a non-factor. Look, in DFS, I think DeAndre Hopkins, I think on one site was like in the 6,000s. He had, what, 18 PPR points, 5 for 67 and a touchdown. Brock did hit him for a 38-yard connection. Still, though, DeAndre in season-long was one of the biggest disappointments in fantasy. And, again, it's hard to want to buy in on a guy at this point for next year if we anticipate that it's going to be Brock Osweiler returning. The question is, what type of discount do we think we're going to get, and when do we think it would be okay in like a 12-team standard league to go out and draft a guy like DeAndre Hopkins? Because we know what the upside's going to be, and there's going to be that one guy in your league that's probably going to take him a little bit earlier than you would think. But in this mock draft on CBSSports.com, he was a second-round pick. He went just Lamar Miller and DeAndre Hopkins went back to back.
They have DeAndre Hopkins in a 12-team league as a second-round pick.
As a second-round pick.
Is this standard scoring?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's not even PPR. That's way too high. Way too high.
Touchdowns worth 6 points.
He didn't even have over 1,000 yards receiving this year.
Terrible.
I mean, look, he's not a guy that's all of a sudden lost his ability to play the position.
And no.
In a mock draft, you're probably assuming with the way that the narratives have gone, that the Texans are going to figure out something at quarterback.
Well, what was the big narrative with DeAndre going into the year? Didn't matter who was going to throw
him
the football.
Yeah, Hoyer and Weeden throwing the ball last year.
Brian Hoyer found a way to have, you know, this guy have a 1,500-yard season last year.
And Brian Hoyer is a better quarterback
right,
fantasy Osweiler. And just in real life than Brock Osweiler. Yeah. So that helps. But... yeah, DeAndre in the second round is something that I just don't like the sound of. Again, I feel like, unless they make some sort of drastic change with their offense, especially at quarterback.
If you're drafting DeAndre Hopkins next year, it's because you feel like he's going to bounce back. Mm-hmm. But you're not getting him at a bounce back price in the second round. And
no.
I think that's the issue. I don't think any of us deny the talent that DeAndre Hopkins has. It's nothing to do with that. It's all about his quarterback. And he should bounce back to a point where, okay, maybe he's not a 1,500-yard, 10-touchdown receiver again.
Yeah.
But something in the middle, like, you know, I still see a 1,000-yard receiving seasons coming from DeAndre Hopkins. Will Fuller, he showed something at the beginning of the year, but...
just tailed off.
He looks like a good complement to a stud number one receiver like Hopkins.
The discount you're getting with DeAndre, if he is... going to end up as a second round pick next year is about a round. He was a late first round pick in 2016. And if you get him as a second round, you'll get a bit of a discount, but not much. In terms of the Raiders, you know, they really went into this game, including a week 17, with kind of like a running back by committee deal. And again, yesterday, you know, Jalen Richard had 3 carries. DeAndre Washington had 4 carries. Latavius Murray had 12 carries for 39 yards and a touchdown. He had -2 rushing yards in the second half. They were just playing catch up, and he really didn't get a lot of work. But, you know, looking at Latavius Murray's season, it was pretty good based on all the touchdowns he had. I believe he was just outside the top, like the RB1 range. But... I don't know. He's a tough guy for me to pinpoint, too, because there were a lot of games where they kind of spread the... like, it was weird. They kind of opened... I think they opened the season with a bit of a committee, and then they had a stretch where it was just Latavius. And I feel like he was fine. And then they kind of went back to this committee thing again. And for the most part, their run game, I feel, was okay. Like, if whatever they wanted to do, whether it was just give Latavius the ball, you know, close to 16, 17 times or kind of spread it around. Like, it worked for them. They were winning a lot of games, so you could understand why the Raiders would keep doing it. But would we imagine there'd be a little bit of touchdown regression for Latavius Murray next year, especially if they want to keep having these three? Like, I think he's a free agent too, I believe. So right. I don't know if he's necessarily
going to be
back. I believe he's going to hit the open market.
Yeah, I mean, what do you expect from a guy that had less than 200 carries and still managed to get under 4 yards per? He had a ton of goal line work. You love that about him. You drafted him because you thought there would be some touchdown upside there, and you got it. 12 TDs. Yeah, there's going to be touchdown regression there. I mean, and not only that, you know, it would be more palatable if those touchdowns were, like, I don't know, would you guys prefer they were spread out or he had those couple of weeks where he won you the week?
I think you always want it more spread out because, in general, you don't want a ton of feast or famine. And, yeah, he had a couple of two. I think he had a three-touchdown game. So he won you a couple of weeks, which is always great.
He is a free agent, by the way.
Then he really, you know, had a couple of games where he had like 60 total yards and nothing, and probably was a big reason that you might have lost that week.
Yeah. He had 7 weeks where he reached double-digit fantasy points.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
More than half of the regular season weeks if you're in a 13-week season.
And like, unless you scooped up Jordan Howard or one of these waiver wire darlings, you pretty much slotted Latavius Murray as your number two in most leagues. So, I mean, the curious thing with him is where he's going to land next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's a given that the Raiders bring him back. I mean, nope. I think Rashard and Washington, I think
they
still
drafted
really don't.
Washington with this in mind, right?
Yeah. So I'm just trying to think of what teams are in need of a running back that would pay Latavius Murray the money he should rightfully demand after a good year.
Giants?
Yeah, but I think
Paul Perkins actually going to be the long-term answer there.
I hope so.
I started him in our DFS league.
Did you?
Give me the perk.
He was good, really good last week.
Right? Like, what if the Patriots move on from LeGarrette Blount?
Could be
a landing spot.
Yeah.
Good goal line back.
Not the Bengals, but... Yeah, in this mock draft, Latavius is a fourth-round pick.
That seems, assuming he's back in Oakland, I would have said, yeah,
that seems
fourth
okay.
or fifth-round pick type situation.
And then we get to the wide receiver talk, and Andre Holmes led the way, 4 for 50 and a touchdown. Michael Crabtree, 2 for 33. Amari Cooper had 10 targets. He caught 2 balls for 10 yards.
Yeah.
And look,
dropped a horrible pass on the sideline.
Speaking of boomer bust.
And speaking of...
He was kind of a bum this year, right? Relative
Amari
to
Cooper. Oh, absolutely.
Relative to expectations.
Well, I mean, he was still a yard 20 receiver in overall points.
Speaks
was he not?
To his talent, but I think a lot of people
he was a disappointment.
Thought he was going to be in that top 5 range. Like, he had that kind of upside, and it was. What did he have? 4 touchdowns this year. His yardage was all over the place. He had a couple of games where he's well over 100, and then he had a few where he was at like 40 or 50.
Amari Cooper had no 100-yard games after week 8.
Yeah.
He didn't top 60 yards in 8 of his last 9 games. And I believe he did not catch a red zone touchdown all year.
I think you might be right.
I think he only had 6 or 7 red zone looks. I don't even know if he caught a red zone pass.
It's possible he didn't.
Well, when you need to get the ball to Seth Roberts...
Seth Roberts is the truth in the red zone. He really
but
is.
But look, like Amari Cooper's coming back, Crabtree's coming back, Derek Carr's under contract for another 3-4 years.
What about Seth Roberts? Like, this is who I want to know is coming back, because he's the guy who takes all the damn red zone
and
looks.
And those two-point converts
And even Andre Holmes. Like, those are their red zone package is the most baffling thing on the planet, because, you know, Crabtree and Cooper, they're the guys who do all the work between the 20s and then get into the inside the 10. And who's on the field? That's Seth Roberts and Andre Holmes.
Yeah,
and
Andre Holmes is a big body, but yeah.
I understand. Like, and it's hard to get upset with Jack Del Rio because it worked so often this year. Like, are you really going to get mad at him for something that actually worked if you're a Raiders fan? Like, no, you're not.
No.
He had 13 red zone targets this year. Amari Cooper, he had 8 in 2015. He actually had 5 more. 7 came inside the 10. He did have 6 targets inside the 5.
Okay.
But he just didn't catch any of them.
No, that's...
Which is the big issue. And
a lot of those were early in the season.
I think. Well, look, Crabtree is Carr's guy. Like, Michael...
Yeah.
I believe Michael Crabtree finished higher than Amari Cooper did in fantasy points. But would any of you guys draft Michael Crabtree ahead of Amari Cooper next year?
No.
No.
Why not?
He'll be the third-year breakout Amari Cooper next year.
Yeah, that's...
Is that still a thing?
That's what we're expecting. Every year until he actually breaks out, we're going to keep calling for the breakout.
So the guy who had more points this year and who's clearly the best red zone target for the quarterback who's still there, You wouldn't take him over Amari Cooper.
I think it would be close. I honestly do. But Crabtree is, he's rock solid, but there's not a lot of, you know.
He just catches touchdowns. That's all he does.
Like, he's not having any.
He's been great.
Here's the difference with Crabtree and Cooper.
Yeah.
Okay. Crabtree is what he is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We know it's nice to have that valuable to have a guy that you can count on. He's going to give you the same thing pretty much year in, year out. But Cooper, when you watch him play, you see the talent to put him into a top five, top seven wide receiver conversation. Maybe not the elite level of Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham's.
And I know I wouldn't argue with that.
And that's why you draft Cooper ahead of Crabtree.
I guess my thing would be, why should we expect anything different from Michael Crabtree in the red zone?
Oh,
that's
sure.
my only thing. I mean, sure. he had 21 red zone targets this year. He had eight more red zone targets, and he converted a whole bunch of them into touchdowns.
Yeah, he botched a couple. There were a couple of horrible drops he had in the end zone or in the red zone. But, I mean, you draft him now as a wide receiver too. And Amari Cooper now, I feel as though you have to draft as, at best, a low-end first receiver, at best.
Yeah, Amari Cooper went in the second round of this mock, and Michael Crabtree went in the fourth. And I think that's wrong. Frankly, I think that's wrong.
I think they should both be going in the late third, fourth.
All right, we're done with that game. Let's get to the game from last night, and the Seahawks win again, and the Lions' postseason drought continues. Seattle over Detroit 26-6. Let's get Detroit out of the way first. We're going to talk quarterback at length next hour, but Matthew Stafford finished the fantasy year as the number seven ranked quarterback with a total of 279 fantasy points. But again, clearly the finger thing was bothering him. He just didn't look the same. But, you know, in looking at these numbers, I was surprised by how well he did. You know, 4,300 yards, whack a touch. Well, he only had 24 touchdowns, and he did throw 10 picks, but he ran into yardage was there. And he did a lot of this with an ineffective Marvin Jones down the stretch, and Eric Ebron had a bunch of games where he was just kind of in and out. But I do think Matthew Stafford's probably going to be drafted close to outside the top 12 next year. I think Tyrod might go ahead of him if he lands in the right spot. Derek Carr will probably be drafted ahead of Matthew Stafford. But I think, like, I know that I was kind of one of those guys saying, if you're going to wait on quarterback, this is one of the guys to target. Like, him and Kirk Cousins were two of the quarterbacks I was targeting this year. And for the most part, I was pretty pleased with the fantasy production I got from Matthew Stafford. And I still think there is a lot of room for improvement in Detroit, but you can't really argue with the year he had. He had a pretty solid fantasy year.
Well, it all goes back to his injury, because his first 7 weeks he had at least 17 points in every game outside of one, and that was week four at Chicago. So you love that production. I mean, that's solid production from a guy that you drafted as basically a number two quarterback, or you were primed as a wait on QB type of drafter. And if it wasn't for that injury, you kind of feel like he could have been a top five guy by the end of the year.
Like, I wanted no part of him in DFS this weekend, but the Seahawks did give up a whack of points the last couple of weeks. Even the Niners, when the Seahawks had their starters in week 17, gave up some points.
Yeah.
So that was a little disappointing, but I think the easy thing to do when looking at the end of Stafford's season, if you want to draft him next year, is that there's a bit of a built-in excuse there.
Yeah.
With the finger and the glove, and that clearly impacted him. Zach Zenner had 11 carries for 34 yards, also caught six balls for 54 yards, so he had a 14-point PPR day.
Can't wait for the Amir Abdullah hype train
over
the summer.
You think that's going to be a thing?
Probably, yeah.
Probably.
It has been.
He's back. He's healthy. Yeah. He started the year half decently last year before he got hurt.
We might be sitting here next year saying Theo Riddick is the running back we want in Detroit next year.
Yeah.
Especially in PPR leagues. But it might be just one of those situations to avoid. The wide receivers didn't do much. Marvin Jones had 12 PPR points. Golden Tate had 5 PPR
points. Yeah, he was another revenge game narrative flopped for Golden Tate yesterday. He was completely bottled up.
I actually picked Marvin Jones in our DFS league.
Yeah.
As a sneaky play, a guy that's really struggled through the back half of the year because he was a little bit nicked up and partially because Stafford had trouble throwing the deep ball as well.
Yeah.
But it game script wise, theory wise, it played out because since Earl Thomas went down with the injury, that's the kind of throws that Seattle struggled on, the deep pass, and that's what Marvin Jones was a specialist at early in the season.
That's why you think they might be in big trouble next week against the Falcons with Julio. God help that secondary.
Yeah.
2 weeks off to rest up and wreak havoc on them. It's going to be...
And if they can get Taylor Gabriel in space, too.
Steel cage match type situation for those DBs. But
Marvin's another guy that's real intriguing going into next year because he started the season as a house on fire and had that huge game early on, and everybody's like, oh, my God, Marvin Jones.
I was one of those
guys.
Speaking
to that...
And you traded Melvin Gordon for him.
The thing that I love about early season success I love Roto World... And they have those little blurbs on players. Marvin Jones, by week four, was a quote-unquote locked and loaded wide receiver one.
Well, of course. Why wouldn't you think he... I mean...
I know.
But here's what happened.
To go from that to not even really warranting being rostered in a 10-team league by the end of the year.
He just disappeared.
Well, I know.
Let me preface the trade by saying... that I drafted Sammy Watkins. I was desperate.
Desperate at receiver.
And Josh, you finished what? You got to the semis of our league.
Yeah, and crapped out.
So at least you didn't win with my player. Yeah,
Hurt. Melvin Gordon.
Yes, he did.
I think the one thing that happened for that really hurt Jones is, well, he started to get little injuries, but also Golden Tate started chirping a little bit. And rightly so. I mean.
Well,
the Detroit offense kind of changed mid-season. Yeah. Yep.
There was the 1 week, right?
Yeah,
quick hitters.
Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah.
We're going to find a way to get Golden Tate involved.
Yep.
And Golden Tate was getting pretty pissed. I think he might have said something in the media, whatever. And then there was the Messiah.
Yeah.
It was Jim Bob Cooter, who I'm surprised is not getting more talk to be an NFL head coach, to be perfectly honest. There's been, no talk about Jim Bob Cooter getting any NFL games.
The Lions are happy. That's fine.
Yeah. But from that point on, they ran some end-arounds for him that game. They tried a lot of different ways to get Golden Tate the ball that game. And he was, okay. I think he fell on the goal line one play, and he went, I think, for 7 or 8 fantasy points. But, yeah, it's one of those cases where the coach says they want to try and get him the ball, and they did, and it was true. And he was, He really hurt Marvin Jones' value. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
But definitely, if you bought high on Marvin Jones, you're probably kicking yourself right now.
Do you think NFL teams don't want to hire Jim Bob Cooter because they don't want their head coach to have the last name Cooter?
Yeah. I wonder. He's a young guy, too.
What amazing reason to not bring him in.
He just seems like the type of coach who might get a gig and last, max 2 years and then never get a head coaching job. I think he's a Southern-born.
Of course he's Southern.
I remember Chan Gailey coming on this station and just being like, oh, my God, this is hilarious, because he was just so,
He's from Fayetteville,
so Southern
draw.
Fayetteville, Tennessee.
There you go.
He's 32 years old.
Chan Gailey's
very
hard,
by the way. Harold Goodwin, the Arizona offensive coordinator, gets head coaching gigs. Jim Bob Cooter can't get a head coaching gig, or at least an interview.
For sure.
Anthony Lynn got an interview with every single team.
He's apparently a rock star. This is news to me. Let's quickly talk about the Seahawks here before we get to the break and then look at the two games from today. Thomas Rawls entering this game... rushed for 2 yards per carry his last three.
Yeah.
And then last night against the Lions, goes out. The offensive line played extremely well. They just had a whole bunch of holes open for him. 27 carries for a 161 and a touchdown. And I read last night, and it's true, it was one of the guys, I think in the Seattle Times or something, just said the Seahawks were back to being the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Just smash mouth, run the football down your throat, and we're going to do whatever we can to make sure you can't stop us.
Yep.
And this was the a game like that is the reason why Thomas Rawls was a 4th-round pick going into the year.
Absolutely.
And completely flopped because he was hurt right off the bat. We thought he was going to be there week 1, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
But then you look at this game, and you wonder if he can do this consistently. He would obviously be a high draft pick next year. But this is, Russ completed 23 passes. Rawls had 27 carries. It's very Russ Marshawn Lynchy
It was pretty telling, even though when Kristen Michael had the good start to the year for Seattle, that
I remember him.
Pete Carroll was basically saying, like, Thomas Rawls is still our guy. Like, he's part of our identity. And you didn't see it the entire year, but finally here in the playoffs, you saw it.
Yeah.
And you just wonder, like, I don't know if they could do it next week at Atlanta. I mean, hey, it's a good matchup in terms of Atlanta not being a good defense, but this is what you expect from the Seahawks. This is why they wanted Thomas Rawls to be their guy all season long. This is part of the reason why they were okay with cutting Kristen Michael.
Yep.
And there it is. This is why you want to draft him. This is what you look at going into next year, although CJ Procise will be back.
Well, and the offensive line, too, was just so bad for so many stretches. I guess the one thing, like, I had a little bit of Rawls in DFS last night, and the one thing I kind of looked on was when the Seahawks are home, they score a decent amount of points, right? Yeah. Leading into this game, 7 straight home games of 24 points or more, and the Lions were giving up just a ton of touchdowns, especially in the air. But I did think about pivoting off of Le'Veon Bell in a couple of spots and just kind of going with Lamar Miller and Thomas Rawls, and I ended up not doing that. But if you are in a DFS contest this weekend, I believe Thomas Rawls got you like 31 or 32 DFS points, so that's great. Russ has a good game, 224 and 2 touchdowns. We'll talk about him in depth next hour when we break down the quarterback position. Doug Baldwin goes off for 11 for a 104. And a touchdown. And Paul Richardson, guy just makes one-handed catches
two
of them, including one in the end zone. I think next year we're probably going to figure out who might be the second best receiving option in Seattle. Not named Jimmy Graham. Might be Paul Richardson. Might be Tyler Lockett. I don't like, has Paul Richardson now supplanted Tyler Lockett?
It's so hard to say, right? Yeah, like, what's the recovery going to be for Lockett from that grisly leg injury that he suffered? You have to keep that in mind. But Richardson has shown flashes last year, this year. He just hasn't quite put it together for any prolonged stretch of time. But he clearly has some talent. It's just how many pass-catching options can an offense like
Thank you. Like, we go into every summer saying these types of things, Josh. Yeah. And we're wondering, oh, who's going to be that next guy in the Seattle offense? And it's like every single summer do it.
It's nobody.
And it was every single summer we're wrong. Russell Wilson is only going to be able to support one
Lockett, though. It took a long time, but Tyler Lockett had a couple of weeks where it seemed like he was kind of breaking out of the shell.
Week 50.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did, and then he broke his leg.
Yeah.
But I felt
but
like...
But even still, at that point, Jimmy Graham was kind of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, this offense...
Lockett was hurt too, right?
Right, yeah. But this offense, what we're saying is this offense can't really support more than two
at most
pass-catching receivers. Yeah.
It's Doug Baldwin, maybe Jimmy Graham, and then who knows?
If Thomas Rawls runs like this every game, yeah. But I'm just not... Like, I still don't really know what Thomas Rawls is.
I like Thomas Rawls. I liked him going into the series. He's great after the contact. And that is... And he breaks lots of tackles. And those are always... It's like Melvin Gordon last year. The touchdowns weren't there, but he was very good if you looked into it. And it came this year, and I have a feeling that's what's going to happen with Rawls.
All right, we got a break for the update, and we'll come back and look at the two games from today. The Fantasy Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, so much out. Yeah, juice is loose when I be rapping in the booth. These people acting, that's the truth, and I be snapping. Here's the proof, I'm about that action on these dudes. I got the passion for the tune. They acting funny about the money, but I'm laughing at these fools. Look.
First and goal at the one. The give is to Bell. Bell, stutter step to the goal line. Let's see what they call. Touchdown. Pittsburgh Steelers. Le'Veon Bell, welcome back, young man.
Fantasy Show continues here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, it's 8:48. Good Sunday morning. Alex, Dan, and Josh here. And that was Le'Veon Bell both vocally and on the gridiron.
I'm sure he's scoring. Emil in our ear there said he's scoring on and off the field. You can imagine he does a fair bit of scoring off the field.
Oh yeah, and,
pro football player like
in,
that.
In what way, Josh? Would you like to expand?
In every way, knowing money.
Your mom might be listening to this, right?
I'm sure she's heard worse come out of my mouth.
It is the new year, by the way, and
it is Sunday. You know,
if she would, yeah, that's true. if she would like to make some, I'm not going to ask for her to make some baked goods. In the
I think you just did.
I think I just did.
Yeah. Cinnamon raisin bread again, or
so awesome,
so awesome.
So we have 3 minutes here, maybe four. Rob Long is going to come in studio at 9 o'clock, and we'll get to the games from today in depth. So we can either just talk about the games now, or we can do something else. Or, like, I really don't care what we do. Do you guys have any suggestions? This is not great radio. I do fully understand that. Yeah. But having a very long first segment kind of put us in this position. Dan, you were saying the Steelers, the what are the Steelers now at?
Yeah, the spread has gone up to Steelers minus 12 right now.
It's high.
So
yeah, that's
12 and a half, actually, at least according to ESPN.com. So,
nobody wants Matt Moore is what that means.
Sounds like a stinky old backdoor cover to me.
Like, it almost sounds too easy to take the Dolphins at this point.
That's a lot of points.
Fishy. Something's fishy about that spread.
Right. Thank you for the pun. Yeah. I mean,
like, I didn't even think about that. Very good point. Fishy about the fish.
Do you see any scenario today where Miami wins this football game as a fan? Like, have you laid out a scenario?
The scenario is somebody Tanya Harding's Ben Roethlisberger
or Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell.
Well, Landry Jones is pretty bad. I think you just have to take out Big Ben. But yeah, I guess it's, you know,
that's an interesting poll question.
Right.
You have one crowbar. You could take out one Steeler. Who would it be?
Yeah, if you're a Dolphins fan, who would it be? Ben Roethlisberger? Yeah. I think it's definitely Ben. But, like, for the Dolphins, you know, you kind of have to play as much Dallas Cowboys football as you possibly can, and that is try to dominate the clock with Jay Ajayi and keep your defense off the field as much as possible. Give Pittsburgh as limited a chance as you possibly can. Make sure they always have long fields. I mean, that's the only way the Dolphins are going to even stay close in this game and give themselves a punching chance in the fourth quarter.
Yes. Agreed.
Steelers don't give up a lot of big plays to wide. Like, And the one reason why I kind of was afraid of Jay Ajayi this week in DFS was because I do think they're going to be playing catch-up. And they have a couple of other pass-catching backs that I think will get some work. In Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake, I don't know how much usage the two of them will get combined, but...
I mean, the entire Dolphins year has just been them getting lucky. You know, like, their schedule was extremely favorable. The way they ended up landing on Jay Ajayi was extremely favorable. It's like they wanted every other option before him. And then finally, they're just forced to start him, and he goes off like crazy. Remember when he went AWOL early in the year? You're like, this guy's probably never going to play another down for the Dolphins.
So have we talked about the awful announcing column from a few weeks ago?
No.
Did I get tell you guys about
this?
No,
I don't think so.
So they wrote a column about Jay Ajayi and about all these fantasy quote-unquote experts who in week one suggested to just outright drop Jay Ajayi after the Dolphins couldn't find him or just sent him back home. So I see the article on Twitter. I click it. I open it up, and it's guys from ESPN, CBS, Fox, whatever. And then I see a tweet from none other than Alex Cicero.
Really?
No way.
Who had a little blurb from Roto.
Wow.
So I think the Roto World blurb was, Jay Ajayi gone AWOL will not play week one.
Yeah.
And I think my tweet was, well, I guess you should drop Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
What else am I supposed to think?
For sure.
They sent the guy back home.
He was a drop candidate a couple of weeks even after that.
So the article was, All these guys who talk fantasy for a living told you to drop Jay Ajayi, but then the guy in the article pretty much wrote that, well, it was pretty much the right call for those guys to do it anyways. So what was the point of writing the article? At the time, we were right about it.
You got good publicity. Yeah. It's okay.
It should have been put on, you know, freezing cold takes, the Twitter account.
Yeah.
Like, looking back in hindsight at horrible takes. That's a bad take in the end.
But
like,
also,
what, we're supposed to see that? JJ's gone AWOL. Well, you know what? You should hang on to him because he's going to have two 200-yard games against the Buffalo Bills. How the hell are we supposed to know that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Come on.
And I think I even was part of that with Jordan Howard, right? Midseason saying like, yeah, he's probably just dropping.
After that Packers game when he had like 22 yards, it's like, ah, he stinks. John Fox is a bad coach. Drop him. And then he went on a ridiculous run the last 7 or 8 weeks.
Those are to me, bad articles to
people,
write.
People are listening to us right now and they're being like, why do I listen to these
guys? A bunch of jabronis don't know what they're talking about.
All right, we're going to take a break. Rob has the update coming up and then Rob will be in studio. We'll talk in depth on these two playoff games from today from a DFS perspective. And then we will go back to August in our quarterback preview show and find out if we got more right than wrong. And we'll look at the quarterback position heading into 2017. The Fantasy Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590. 590, The Fan.
Hour two of the Fantasy Show is here with Alex, Dan, and Josh. It is Wild Card Weekend. Dolphins at the Steelers, a 1 o'clock kickoff, and then the late kickoff today from Lambeau Field. It's the New York Giants against the Green Bay Packers. Emil Delich and Mark Boffo behind the glass, and you just heard him do the update. Our DFS expert Rob Wong is in studio, and we should say, Rob, before we get to the games, that people will be hearing you and I a little bit more starting tomorrow. I don't know if we can promote this, but we'll do it anyways
because
it's the Fantasy Show. But a couple of times a day, you're going to be hearing in the commercial breaks something called the Fantasy Minute. And it's pretty much Rob and I will pick a DFS play of the day that we like and we'll promote it in commercial form. So it'll start tomorrow and hopefully we get more of our calls right than we don't.
That's what we're hoping for.
What we're hoping for. But I believe it's like once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and we'll do it Monday through Friday. We'll do basketball Monday, Wednesday, Friday, hockey Tuesday, Thursdays, and we'll do baseball when it starts. But anytime we can get any more fantasy talk on the air,
of course,
is a win-win. So we'll start that tomorrow. Should be good.
I'm excited.
I
hope you have more calls like Ty Montgomery, like you had a couple of weeks ago when he went off against the Bears.
Yeah. This is good. My Ryan Griffin call.
Ryan Griffin.
A couple weeks ago, too. All right, Rob. So let's get to the Dolphins and Steelers here from a DFS angle. And I was kind of saying before the break that I really don't have any shares of Jay Ajayi today. I hope that's not a mistake, but I think game script is a big thing here, and I think if they are trailing from behind, we'll probably see Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake too. But did you put an Ajayi in any of your lineups today?
I did not, but I mean, the only thing with Ajayi is you have to consider him because it's a 2-game slate, and I was thinking about it today, and a lot of it is game theory. Obviously, it is sort of a tedious task, but if you're playing a lot of head to heads this week, or if you're playing in a tournament and you need to catch up. I mean, one of the only ways you can do it is by taking guys that your opponent's not taking. So if you are behind in a head-to-head and you have Le'Veon Bell, there's a good chance if you look at the salary that the other guy has, probably he has Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. So if you really need to make up some ground, you're going to have to take some chances on some guys, whether it's Jay Ajayi or whether it's Paul Perkins or Ty Montgomery. So, I mean, I think everybody is probably an option today just because of the 2-game slate. But, I mean, obviously in a perfect world, you would not want to play Jay Ajayi, but we saw yesterday, Latavius Murray had, a score, and obviously Zach Zenner had some pretty decent run yesterday. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that, Jay Ajayi could have a good game. He had one earlier this year. Hard to expect another 200-yard performance. But yeah. I don't think he's a terrible play, but he's just in a weird salary position.
He does have 18 or more touches in 8 straight games, so that might make it a little bit easier to click on him. I guess the question I would ask is who's going to have the most DFS points on Miami. Matt Moore aside, like who's the one play?
Yeah, well, I think Matt Moore is pretty. Dan has his hand up. Yeah,
got my hand up.
Kenny Stills. You like Kenny Stills?
Yeah, I do like Kenny Stills.
What about Deion Sims? He was a sneaky guy in the red zone late in the season. Probably not going to be on a lot of rosters.
Super cheap.
Yeah. Super cheap.
I mean, red zone.
I wonder about Matt Moore because, I mean, he's obviously an interesting play because he's just so cheap.
Yeah.
And he's performed. I mean, he's got a pretty decent floor, I guess. That's probably his ceiling, too.
Well, he's a gunslinger.
The only thing that kind of concerns me, it seems like the weather is going to be pretty nasty in Pittsburgh today. And he's a guy from California, I think, played at Oregon, hasn't played too many cold weather games, I'd imagine. So, and ultimately, when it comes down to it, Miami's still a running team. And, you know, Kenny Stills is obviously a strong option. Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker, I think all the receivers are interesting just because they're probably going to be playing from behind. So, if you really need it, fire up the Dolphins. I mean, there's really not much else you can do. They're all cheap, too, which is a great salary.
Well, so, Dan, you would go Stills over Parker? Because I feel that's the more chalkier thing to do, but it is much easier. Even though the Steelers don't give up a lot of big plays to wide receivers, Devontae Parker's kind of just meh down the stretch.
Yeah, I think it's Stills. I mean, Jarvis Landry, obviously, if you can fit him in, he's probably the odds-on favorite to lead the Dolphins receivers, as he usually is. But I don't know. I feel like there's a big play coming from Kenny Stills. And a lot of it goes into, like we talked about with the spread too, right? It's the Dolphins are plus 12. They're going to have to be pushing the ball down the field probably late in the game to get back into it. But, you know, if you like Jay Ajayi, and this is getting back as well to Rob's kind of note on it being such a short slate, you know, on a regular Sunday, I wouldn't even entertain a running back who is a plus 12 road dog, you know? Like, so it's hard for me to go and click that, because I think when you're picking your DFS, especially for on any given week, especially for football, I really look at the betting lines and the over under totals and really have that factor into what I'm picking.
Yeah, and especially if you played the Saturday and Sunday slate, Lamar Miller was cheaper than Ajayi, and then you can go with one of the Giants. Well, I'm not going with Rashad Jennings, but Paul Perkins is just so much cheaper that I never even really gave it much thought to start Jay Ajayi. Yeah. Byron Maxwell, by the way, is doubtful for this game. Yeah. Doesn't look like he will play. And if the Dolphins do win, they don't know if Ryan Tannehill would be ready to play in the divisional round, but they got to get there first.
That's another reason to really not like the Dolphins today. Yeah. If you're that worried about Byron Maxwell not playing, I mean,
he was good this year. Rebirth year. He shut down Antonio Brown. He had a good year.
He was okay.
For the Steelers, defensive lineman Stephon Tuitt should be back after missing two games. That's really good news for the Steelers. Ladarius Green practiced in full Wednesday, Thursday, and then did not practice on Friday with the concussion-like symptoms he's been dealing with, so we'll have to watch out for that. Are you firing up the 3Bs today, Rob? Or do you find yourself going away from Ben or Le'Veon or Antonio?
I mean, they're obviously the best options on the slate. They're at home, all strong plays. You know, obviously, like I said before, you can make a case for fading some of these guys just if you need to be contrarian and you need to catch up in some spots. But, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, it's pretty much expected he's probably going to be the highest scoring player, you know, maybe non-quarterback today. He's got the highest ceiling for sure. You know, Eli Rogers is obviously an interesting play. If Ladarius Green's not playing, his numbers go up quite a bit as, you know, the only middle down the field threat. So he's interesting. Jesse James is really a massive dart throw if you're looking for somebody to catch a touchdown in the red zone. Maybe he's a guy. But yeah, it's pretty much the killer bees as far as the Steelers go.
All right, what about the Giants and Packers 4:35 kickoff? Any favorite plays from those two teams that you really firing up today?
You know, I decided on a Russell Wilson Baldwin Richardson stack. Eli was my guy. I mean, ultimately, you look at the matchup. He has the best matchup going into this week.
I mean, and I feel like he's played well at Lambeau, too.
Oh, yeah. Very well, historically. Yeah.
And, you know, it's always a risk because he has a pretty low floor, but he, you know, has shown at times he does have a pretty decent ceiling. And like I've said before, the matchup's great. The Packers' secondary is just so banged up, and they just have been torched week after week after week. It's just been shootout after shootout between the Packers and whoever their opponent is. So, yeah, I love Eli Manning. I think Odell's a great option. Sterling Shepard's pretty interesting as well. Paul Perkins is interesting just because he's so cheap, and it seems like they're going to give him some pretty good run. The only problem is he doesn't, you know, play very much in the passing game. So that's kind of the risk that you take there. But I really like Eli on the Packers side of things. I mean, obviously it's Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Jordy Nelson's in a tough matchup against Janoris Jenkins most likely. And depending on if Randall Cobb doesn't play today, it's Geronimo Allison.
Yeah.
Jared Cook is even an option.
Jared Cook. You like Ty Montgomery this week? Do we think
you know
that
what?
Matchup is...
Only because Aaron Ripkowski was downgraded to questionable.
Yeah, and
he was
a factor last week.
Yeah, he was. I haven't given it any thought to play Ty Montgomery, but
he's going to be super low owned.
Yeah, that might be one of the
exactly it. Super low owned, because that's all you're looking for here. You're sacrificing quality just for the chance that he is. Yeah. Not owned by anyone else in the league you're playing in, or by very few people.
It might be one of those situations where if you find yourself trailing heading into the game, you might, and if you have like Devontae Adams in your flex, you might have to swap him out for a guy like Ty Montgomery.
Yeah.
But he can't pass protect.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could classify it as a benching last week, but
he went for
stretches of that game. Yeah. Where he wasn't playing.
Yeah, and that's the problem, because it's so telegraphed. Like, when he's not in there, it's pretty obvious what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, maybe this is a Kristen Michael 10-plus carry game. I don't know.
Oh,
like,
God.
They don't want, like, can Kristen Michael pass protect? I'm sure he can pass protect better than Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, but still not well. And I just don't feel like the idea of introducing Kristen Michael as more of a featured guy in a playoff game when he hasn't been at all is sort of a risky move. At this stage of the season,
Jared Cook has 21 targets the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think he's a really interesting play too.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that Jared Cook's return would open up an offense? Because that's exactly what it did.
Of course not.
Look what we're dealing with
here. But if there was one spot he was going to do it, it's with the best quarterback in the league and a team with no run
game.
And
the best part of it is, it's like, oh yeah, Jared Cook's been great for us, I heard Roger say. And it's like, look at those numbers. Classic Jared Cook. He still has the odd good game. Otherwise, lots of like 3 for 35, 4 for 40.
All right, Rob, we'll let you get to your 680 update. Thanks for popping in.
All right.
There's our DFS expert, Rob Wong, joining us on the Fantasy Show. All right, so we're going to go back in time a little bit now. This is going to be a little fun exercise. We're going to do this the next 4 weeks, looking at each position. We did have our preview shows in August, and we started our previews with quarterbacks. So this is early August, and I went through the whole show, and I found, Emil, 12 clips of us just talking about who we like, who we don't like, who to take, where, and whatnot. I wanted to do this just to get a gauge on what we were right on and what we weren't. I thought it would be a little bit of fun. So let's go back in time to our
facts,
quarterback.
Hope.
Oh yeah, Emil.
Yeah,
Emil's,
I know he's got this. Unlocked.
He's excellent.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to clip number one. But do we think Cam Newton is going to be the number one quarterback when all is said and done?
I don't know. I can't say for certain if he's going to be number one. I'm pretty comfortable saying he'll be top five again. But it's hard to imagine him having anywhere close to the season that he had last year.
All right. So correct fade by you, Mr. Dan Riccio.
But
he was not top.
Yeah.
He was not top five. He was. He actually finished 17th among quarterbacks.
Yeah. Was he the biggest disappointment in fantasy football this year?
Outside
of Todd Gurley, DeAndre Hopkins,
Allen Robinson,
I've spent a first round pick on a quarterback and have him do that.
Bomb out.
35 touchdowns to 19. His rushing touchdowns went from 10 to 5. He had a 75 quarterback rating.
Yeah, he was god awful. He couldn't hit 50% the last month of the season. It was terrible.
Like, the shoulder late in the year was an issue, but he scored 135 fantasy points less than he did last year. So it's one of the examples of never draft a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah.
But if Aaron Rodgers is a first round quarterback next year, are we going to be saying the same thing about Aaron Rodgers?
I drafted Aaron Rodgers in the first round of a 16-team league, and I was pretty happy with
how
it turned
jacked
out.
Up for sure for that.
So Cam Newton for next year, like Mike Clay of ESPN has some early rankings, and he has Cam number 9.
That seems
still inside the top 10.
That seems reasonable.
And what would you have to spend on that? Fifth round, sixth round?
Yeah, sixth round probably in a standard, which seems okay because, again, you're hoping that the upside is huge there, but
so what happened this year? What happened with Cam Newton?
It was a perfect storm, I think. You know, like they never really got into a rhythm. Greg Olsen and Kelvin Benjamin certainly did not have the impact that you expected them to have. Cam, I think we came to a realization, and the Panthers did as well, that they have to be careful with Cam. And they didn't let him run on the goal line as much as they did in years past.
Yeah.
And that was such a big part of his value, was getting those extra 8 to 10 touchdowns on the ground. And what you said, this year was 5. So,
yeah. Well, and the concussion too, right? The 2-point convert, the one game where he lazily thought
and
he was just going to cross the line.
Right?
He got belted.
Week one, when he had the helmet to helmet hit, and there was that big discussion of should he have been taken out of the game and whatnot and all that. And I mean, it was just it wasn't pretty from the start for Cam. And then he crushed San Fran in week two.
I think
that was his best game of the year by far.
Right.
And he thought he was going to be okay. But turns out it wasn't the case.
All right, let's get to clip number 2.
And assuming everything is all right with the Packers' skill positions, everybody stays healthy and there's, you know, not any underachieving, I'm really only looking at Eddie Lacy as a candidate to, again, disappoint. And I actually have high hopes for him. I think Rodgers, he's my guy to be either the number one or no lower than the number two guy.
I mean, that's...
All right, Rob, what do you think of that?
It's not
Josh?
A hot take.
That's not a hot take. No, that was not a hot take at all.
Aaron Rodgers was drafted as the number two quarterback,
and
he finished
the number one.
But like by far and away.
Yeah, by miles. And
a 33-point edge over Matt Ryan in the fantasy.
Yeah, and the skill positions were great. I mean, I don't think any of us expected Jordy Nelson to rebound the way that he did 1 year off of ACL surgery and on the wrong side of 30. So that was a pleasant surprise. And Devontae Adams, aside from a couple of occasions where his crappiness of last year reared its ugly head, dropping, I think he must have dropped 5 touchdowns in a 3-game span.
Yeah.
He was on the whole very good. Jared Cook brought an element, Ty Montgomery. So that offense was great. And I did have Eddie Lacy high hopes, but I did also say in there, he would be the one guy that could disappoint.
Yeah.
And
he saved yourself with the statement.
Yeah. He stunk.
Look, I think the fantasy script here also includes having no run game. Although Ty Montgomery did have his couple of games where, but like it was almost a perfect storm of fantasy greatness for Aaron Rodgers, who had his worst yards per attempt since 2006. He only averaged 7.3 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
But they got a lot of things out quick. And Jordy and Devontae and Jared Cook did a lot with those throws. But he was so consistent, 11 games or more. 11 games of more than 20 fantasy points.
Yeah.
And this, like you said, this is with Randall Cobb having a down year with no running game. Christian Michael did nothing when they brought him in. So do they have a better running game next year? If that's the case, is Aaron Rodgers' fantasy production lowered a bit? Possibly, right?
Yeah.
But still, he's going to go into next season as the number one quarterback.
Yep.
And even though I probably won't spend a first-round pick on Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if I'm going to be sitting here saying, by all, like, just don't do it.
Right.
I mean, you can make a case for taking Aaron Rodgers in the first because Jordy's going to be there and Devontae's there and they might have a better running game. But he was everything you hoped he would be this year.
Right. But a lot of that was what happened in the second half. Because you look at and Rodgers turning it around and really being the number one guy, it all switched in, like, week 8.
Yeah.
And that was happened to coincide with when Jordy, I guess, miraculously somehow recovered from his ACL and was back to being the Jordy Nelson of old. Because Rodgers had 5 weeks all year where he was outside the top 12 of quarterbacks. 3 of them came before week 8.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, you were worried at the beginning of the year, like, oh my God, did I ruin my fantasy team by drafting Aaron Rodgers in the first round or the second round? Didn't turn out to be the case because you look at Jordy Nelson, he had 2 weeks after week 8 where he finished with less than double digit fantasy points.
Yeah, he was incredible. And this was one of those injury guys where if you took Sammy, you're telling yourself you'll probably never take a guy hurt early in a draft again. And if you took Jordy Nelson, you're probably fine with the idea of taking a guy coming off a significant injury.
Yeah, if you didn't sell low on him midway through the season.
Aaron Rodgers just had his second best fantasy season of his career.
Yeah.
2011 remains the best. He had almost 400 fantasy points.
He was ridiculous that year,
Emil, let's get to clip number 3. But I just feel like Wilson might take that step this year. And again, I think he's one of these guys that can contend for that top spot. So in the 4th round, I like that a lot better than, say, Cam in the 2nd. So That didn't quite work out as well as I hoped.
No, it did not.
There is a bit of an injury excuse built in for me in dealing with the knee issue. But, you know, Russ Wilson finished as the number 11 fantasy quarterback. He got hot kind of in the second half. And I think we all kind of saw a second half breakout kind of coming from Russ. But, I mean, he only rushed for 259 yards. His interceptions were up. His completion percentage was down. He had his worst fantasy year since 2013. But I think the second half was promising for Russell Wilson, and I think he's probably going to be a guy that I do target next year. But there are some things that went against him. The offensive line was a big-time issue. The injured running backs, that was a problem. His injury was a problem. His rushing production was a problem. But having all of that said, I think finishing as the number 11 quarterback, I'm not going to sit here and say you should accept that from fantasy, but there's a lot of things that went against him this year. And, you know, he had an okay fan. It was disappointing, but I think he was okay. I think the second half will kind of want people to possibly take him next year.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah, you looked at Russell Wilson and you thought, okay, what is worst case scenario for Russell Wilson this year? And this was kind of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was part of the reason you liked him so much is because he is an efficient quarterback. He does get you a little bit in the run game. And he was real hot to finish the year. And there was that he was already, a top five quarterback last year. And you saw what happened in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And you wondered if that was going to carry over for an entire season.
Yeah.
It turns out the injuries and the problems with the Seattle offensive line, that wasn't necessarily possible. But he didn't kill you through the entire year. And I think that's that was part of his built-in value in the fourth, fifth round.
He threw for 21 touchdowns, had just one rushing touchdown on the season. Let's get to clip number four, Emil.
There's too many reasons to not like Big Ben right now.
That was a nice, short and sweet. I like that was easy for me to cut and put into the folder.
Yeah.
So Big Ben played 14 games this year, didn't hit 4,000 yards, finished as the number 18 quarterback. What happened to Big Ben this year?
I think there was too much hype going into him into the season, and that's part of the reason I didn't like him at the start. Mostly for me, he was too good at home and too bad on the road for you to stomach it.
Yep.
And I think that bore out over the entire season.
And Le'Veon Bell at times hurts him too.
Yeah.
Just with as many touched, I mean, they're so confident giving him the ball in the red zone, but Ben had fantasy weeks of 6 points, 9 points, 8 points. He had a 2-point week somewhere. So it is that just screams streamer.
Right.
He's going to be 36 years old next year and still one of the best offenses in the league. Do you think we'll be able to make a case that Big Ben is going to be like a back end quarterback one next year?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think he's on the low end of the top 10 now.
Because
those road things are the road splits is it's not just this year. It was the same as last year. And he gets hurt every year now. He's old. Like his body doesn't recover the same way. And he still takes way too much punishment.
Yeah.
Way too much. Holds onto the ball for way too long.
So you're saying he's not a quarterback one next year?
I think he's on the borderline, but I don't think you're drafting him firmly in that top 10 anymore.
Mike Clay has him sixth in his quarterback rankings. That's one of the things that shocked me the most when looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, look. As much as 18th among quarterbacks by the end of the year, it's really like 20 points, the difference between 18th and being a top 10 guy. So it's not the end of the world. And the thing with Big Ben is, too, even though he had a down year, those weeks where he's at home, he's winning you the week. You know, like he had a 5-touchdown game. He had a 4-touchdown game. How many 3-touchdown games did he have this year? So
he's a streamer.
He's a high-end streamer, and you have to be very careful with where you use him on the road.
All right, Emil, what do we got next up?
Yeah, I think I actually like Brady a little bit. I mean, he's going on the fringe of the top 10. Yes, he's going to miss 4 games.
So who would you pair him with?
I think, honestly, I would pair him with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think if you...
Wow.
I have high hopes for Jimmy Garoppolo in the first four games.
Well, Josh, Tom Brady was third in the NFL in fantasy points per game.
Yeah, that worked out a lot. Garoppolo got hurt, unfortunately, but he was good. He looked every bit the part of a good NFL quarterback. Yeah. And not only that, now he's a hot commodity going into the offseason. Is he worth
it? Get a first and a fourth for him?
According to Adam Schefter, if you ask Trent Dilfer, no, they're not. And they're using Schefter to inflate his value, which I think is insane and stupid, but whatever. Brady, until we see otherwise, and he did a lot of this without Gronk, right? Like, Gronk was hurt early, limited, and then he got hurt for the year with the back, didn't have a ton of big games, and Brady found a way to make it work. He spread it around and didn't turn the ball over. Until we see some erosion in his skills, there's no reason to think he's not a top five quarterback.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I mean, the only negative thing I can find with Tom Brady is that during the fantasy playoffs, he threw three touchdowns combined.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah, sure.
But well, again, that's circumstance.
That's also schedule, though. How many quarterbacks are you starting at Denver? I would say nobody.
Yeah. And you know, if you bench Tom that game for almost anybody else, it was the right play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the other thing with Tom, too, is we had that moment in midseason where Gronk went down, and you looked at his numbers without Gronk through his career, and you were like, oh, this is, I don't know where, I don't like where this is headed. And he found a way to still figure it out and still provide a heck of a season down the stretch.
Yeah.
He's going to be a top five quarterback next year. Yep. Would you guys rather Breeze or Brady?
Breeze.
Yeah, still Breeze by a hair, but I would be happy with either one.
Well, what if Sean Payton leaves, which is unlikely?
He's not going.
Yeah,
not
he
going
says he's staying put. Yeah.
They pretty much fired every other coach, and he's staying.
Yeah.
Because, if Sean Payton leaves,
you don't know.
It's a legit question, but it looks like he's going to stay. Matt Ryan or Tom Brady next year?
Brady.
Yeah,
to me, Brady. It's Brady. Yeah, but it's actually pretty close. Okay, Emil, next up.
The Jaguars, everything they did was this offseason kind of hints towards them wanting to be a bit more of a ball control offense and not so much pass heavy. They went and spent a lot of money on defense. They spent a lot of money in their running game. So those two things really say that they don't want Blake Bortles to throw the ball quite as much.
All right, so Blake Bortles finishes the year as the number 9 fantasy quarterback. As bad as he was in a lot of games this year, he was still a top 10 guy. And here's a surprise. He says he's going to work on his throwing mechanics in the offseason. Well, thanks for that. Look, Blake Bortles had a lot of fantasy points on your bench this year, but threw for almost 4,000 yards. A lot of his touchdowns came in garbage time, like we... Well, I don't know if we all thought they were going to be terribly as bad as they were last year, but he was just,
I don't know, man, he's just, he is so bad.
He is such a bad quarterback that it makes you cringe to start him in fantasy, but, I mean, there was weeks where he certainly helped you win games, and maybe it was because of garbage time, whatever it was, he wasn't horrible. He had a lot of weeks with 2 TD passes, so... You know, that's the nature of fantasy quarterbacks. They can be awful in real life, but still helpful for your fantasy team.
Threw 500 yards less this year than he did last year. And he did say that he had 2 shoulder separations and wrist tendonitis.
Of course he said
That sounds painful.
It does. Yeah.
It does. And what's also interesting to note is when the Jaguars fired Gus Bradley, you know, they pretty much said whichever head coach comes in here doesn't, like, they don't have to have Blake Bortles as their starter. Yep. But they've met with Doug Marrone, and it sounds like the meeting went well. And I don't know if Marrone is a Bortles guy. But Bortles next year, is he, like, he's probably going to go close to the 20 range, I would think.
He could go either way, though. Because we've
could he be the Matt Ryan of this year?
I don't think so.
I could totally see it. They have.
See, I'm kind of...
I'm kind of with Dan
No.
Why not?
Oh, he stinks. It's like one, Matt Ryan at least was has been an actual good football player quarterback.
Josh, he just finished as the number nine ranked fantasy quarterback. Matt How Ryan much never worse had, can he be?
Matt Ryan never had a year higher than the seventh ranked quarterback before this year.
I think the only thing that Bortles runs, right? Like he threw 23 touchdowns, had 16 picks this year. Those are not top 10 numbers.
Three rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, and almost 400 rushing yards. That's what does it for him. But I don't, like, it wasn't like, oh yeah, he was unlucky in the red zone and there's regression. Where is there positive regression for Blake Bortles? Because, like, the talent is the talent. He is bad. He misses a lot of easy throws. His mechanics are horrible. Unless we see a completely different throwing motion next year, how can we just be like, oh yeah, sure, another year as an NFL quarterback, he's bound to get better.
Because he was just the ninth ranked quarterback, as bad as he was.
I think he's going to be worse next year.
If he's guaranteed the starting job.
I think he's going to be worse.
Like, how can you not like him as a top 15 quarterback?
I think, yeah. Like
as a top 15, 17, like, but I'm not starting him week to week. In a 2QB league, maybe.
And neither am I. All I'm saying is, I think he's going to be one of these backups that just has the opportunity to sneak into the top 12. See, and Matt Ryan, I thought of the same way. I thought he was too low.
Yeah.
I thought he was a perfect streamer, and he turned out to be way more than a streamer. And Bortles, who knows? I mean, look, he was bad, and they couldn't run the football. They had no run game pretty much all year, which I guess should be benefiting.
Yeah, that's the thing. His Bortles passing numbers were so bad that I just can't overlook that.
But I am intrigued with the weapons around him. Like, Julius Thomas, I think, is gone, right? I believe he's a free agent, so they could upgrade there. And they have Robinson and Hurns and Lee.
Yeah.
Now, keeping Hurns and Lee on the field healthy has been a bit of a challenge here. But I think just as a backup going into next year, I don't mind the idea, depending on where he's going, right?
To me, he's a high-end streamer. I don't know how – he's still going to be in a division that is horrible defensively outside of the Texans. He's still got even last year, okay, last year we said there was going to be a regression, and we were right. But last year he was a top five quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So his, like, two main years in the league, he's been a top 10 guy fantasy-wise. And yes, a lot of it is garbage time. A lot of it is finding the week when you have to stream him, and that can be really, really difficult to do. I understand these factors, but at the end of the year, he ends up with some pretty decent,
like,
stats.
Was he the worst top 10 fantasy quarterback ever? Because, like, usually you assume a top 10 guy is an every week starter, not a guy that you were probably confident, honestly, starting in 30% of the weeks at most.
Like I mentioned earlier, the only guys that are real, like, bona fide every week starters are top five guys.
Yeah.
And that's basically Luck, Breeze, Rodgers, Brady, and maybe still Newton or Wilson.
Yeah.
Like, other than that, I don't even put Matt Ryan in that conversation yet.
No. I think he's just on the outside looking
at it. Yeah, I would agree.
We'll take the break. We'll come back, and then we'll get to the rest of those quarterback clips. It's the Fantasy Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I took a pill in Ibiza to show Avicii I was cool. And when I finally got sober, felt 10 years older, but
okay,
it was something to do. I'm living out in L.A. I drive a sports car just to prove.
Can somebody explain to me what's the point of this song? Can you guys detail that for me, please? What's he talking about here?
This is, trade out Ibiza for, like, us Toronto kids. This is like a bachelor party weekend in Montreal. You just get crazy, you know?
But, like,
you and the boys, you go out.
What kind of crazy? What
New
are we
City
doing?
Gas. You start doing some things you've never done before.
I want specifics.
You end up at an after party and... Yeah, and then you host the Jeff Blair Show.
Rockstar you. Welcome back to the Fantasy Show here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Alex, Dan, and Josh here until the top of the hour. Next week, we'll be back to talk about the divisional playoff round, and we'll also have an in-depth running back review. But with about 9 minutes left, let's continue looking back on what we said during our quarterback preview show in August and see if we got some stuff right or wrong. So let's continue that, Emil. longer. I just think with Cousins, and I think I said this last week, but I'm not really buying into their running game. I think he has like top 10 upside. All right, so that was probably one of my better calls. He finished as the fifth ranked quarterback in fantasy with just over 300 points, 25 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns. But this is the thing for next year. Garcon is a free agent. DeSean Jackson is a free agent. I guess there's a chance that Kirk's not even there next year, right? So there's a lot of question marks for Kirk Cousins, but in looking at his season, he was pretty consistent. He had 2 or 3 bad games, but for the most part, he was pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised with Kirk Cousins. He was one of those late-ish quarterbacks that I was targeting as a guy to start for me. But when I needed him the most, in week 15, he had his worst game of the season.
It's hard to hammer him, though, because he really didn't have any dud weeks.
No.
Like even Rodgers and Ryan maybe didn't even have this kind of season where they were like, I'm looking through here. He had, outside of week 1 and week 5, he was over 15 fantasy points every single week. And that's in standard league where 4 points for a touchdown.
Week 15, he had 10 points.
Well, sorry.
Please don't remind me of that game again.
That was the one Alex was getting at.
Yeah.
But then he rebounded with 29 the next week. Twist that knife,
So we don't know what's going to happen with D-Jax. And Jordan Reed, you can't count on him to play 16 games. But, I mean, Jameson Crowder's a real good thing.
Yeah.
And
Doxson
is going to be around next year. They got some good pieces on offense in Washington.
Is he going to be the same thing next year, though? Is he going to be a guy drafted outside the top 10 that you'd probably be like willing to start as a QB1?
He feels like a guy that nobody's ever going to truly believe in.
Yeah.
What do we think is the perfect landing spot for him? Would it be to stay in Washington?
Yep, 100%. I think so.
Because Denver has an opening. I do wonder about Arizona.
Well, you still got Jay Gruden, and we all agree that for a quarterback, Jay Gruden is a good thing.
Yeah, everywhere else he's not.
You know, that could be one of the big reasons to downgrade Matt Ryan next year is if Kyle Shanahan ends up in Denver.
Kirk Cousins was 83 yards shy of 5,000.
Great year.
For the season. And Drew Brees, I believe, was the only quarterback to go for over 5,000 yards at 5,200. Okay, Emil, what's next?
The guy I like that we didn't mention there is Tyrod Taylor. He's got a new deal. I think they're going to run him more this year. I see him, you know, I could see him scoring 3 or 4 touchdowns on the ground.
That was a good call, Josh.
Hey.
Finished as the number 8th quarterback in fantasy. 6 rushing touchdowns, almost 600 rushing yards. And he did it with, like, literally no help.
Scotch tape. Yeah.
So,
but the problem is he's not going to be nothing like a top 10 fantasy season. And the reward is hit the unemployment line, pal. Yeah.
That's more on the Bills than it is Tyrod Taylor.
Absolutely.
It really.
Nice. T-Mobile.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. It really does seem like they're going to move on from him. I think what's going to happen is they're going to try and renegotiate his deal. And him and his agent are going to say,
he's going to give
them
the
finger right here.
He's going to give them the old Stone Cold Steve Austin and then a beer shower afterwards.
If he goes on the market this year, he is the best free agent quarterback on the market.
Yep.
Not named Tony Romo, but even teams like you have to worry about Tony Romo's actual health, you know? So that's the big issue with Romo.
Yeah.
Tyrod has actually been a picture of health given his, you know, scrambling ability. He's missed one game over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
He's been pretty healthy, and the Bills should keep him. And I don't think they're going to.
No.
You know what,
Alex?
That's
a big mistake.
Bad teams stay bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the drought is now 17 years.
Yeah.
Okay, Emil, what's next?
My guy is Derek Carr. I'm all in on the Oakland Raiders. Like, if you look at that roster on paper, it's deep. They've done a lot of good things on offense. Their offensive line looks like one of the best in the league. They have 2 great receivers in Crabtree and Amari Cooper, plus Clive Walford, the exciting young tight end.
All right, Dan. So Derek Carr finishes the number 10 fantasy quarterback. 7 games of 20 fantasy points or more, and then suffers the finger dislocation and broken leg. So the end of the season was really tough, but he had some stretches there where you say to yourself, this guy maybe could be a top 10 quarterback in fantasy for many, 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 yeah. many years to come.
Yeah, and if they keep that entire offense intact and those receivers intact, he's going to carry that into next year. He's much better than his brother was. That's
for sure. Are you including young, exciting tight end Clive Alford in that?
He's still young and exciting. It'll be his third year next year. Tight ends take a while.
Everything was great about that until and young, exciting tight end Clive Alford.
I still think he's young and exciting, okay?
Okay, Emil.
These are great.
What's next? But I think in terms of upside, being the 17th quarterback off the board, like, if I'm going to wait to take Kirk Cousins as my number one, I'm probably going to take a guy like Stafford as my number two, just in case Cousins just sucks, which I don't think he's going to. But I love Stafford's upside. Yeah, right. Not bad.
Very good.
Finished as the number seventh quarterback.
Applauso.
Yeah, we hit on him earlier. We know.
Yeah.
Well, look at
24
this.
Touchdowns. Yeah. But from week eight on, hit 10 touchdowns combined.
Yeah, he was bad.
He was
not good.
The first 7 weeks were great, and then he just completely caved. But still, he had a good year. Almost 600 attempts, over 4,300 yards. Lot of turnovers.
Yeah, four games without a touchdown pass, too.
Yeah. Is he going to be drafted outside the top 10?
Probably.
Next year? Yeah. Probably, right?
Probably. I think so. And look, we always talk about weight on quarterback. Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford all finished, top seven? And they weren't drafted anywhere near that.
All right, Emil, what's next?
Well, we were talking a little bit during the break about Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see a situation in which he leaps into the top 15 or 12.
Like, as a quarterback 20, the hate's gone probably a little... Yeah. Too far.
Everyone's just fallen off Matt Ryan's wagon a little bit in one year.
I honestly think Matt Ryan, like, if you look at his baseline numbers, they're all the same. Mm-hmm. The one thing that changed last year was the touchdowns.
Right. Yeah.
And he was terrible in the red zone.
Yeah,
just
very bad.
A ton of picks.
A lot of picks. Hey, all of us, let's all take a laugh.
Consensus.
Skip around the room.
That might be one of the best calls we had all preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he went from 21 touchdowns to 38.
Yeah.
He had a career high for touchdowns, and he only threw 7 interceptions.
There's been some redemption from that Jay Ajayi awful announcing article. You're back in fantasy good graces.
Screw those guys.
Yeah.
Is he the fantasy MVP?
Relative to ADP, I would say
yeah. Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah. He had much like Rodgers, he had 5 weeks where he was outside the top 12.
Yeah.
Next.
Why no love for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I'm fine with Fitz as a bye week play.
That's it? I mean, he had such a good year last year.
He makes too many stupid decisions. It's like he thinks he has a better arm than he actually does. Oh, there you go. That's the MVP right there.
Quarterback 29, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Hey, he wasn't 32.
Nope. And he beat out Case Keenum in fantasy points.
Hey, but congratulations if you streamed him in week two, you were loving it.
So that was a fun exercise.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do that next week with running backs in the 9 o'clock hour. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. All right, we got to go. Thanks to Dan and Josh and Emil and Mark. The Fantasy Show is back next week right here on The Fan.